I don't agree on that. It's like what Ralph just said. This really makes no sense to me.
Welcome to the very first episode of a weekly podcast that we're aiming to create.
Oh, I thought it's weekly.
No.
Oh, damn.
Know what you signed up for, Ralph.
Great start.
We're in for the long haul.
It's not that I have anything better to do, which kind of sums up my life. Yes, true. I'm pathetic. Like my glasses. Look.
Still. Okay, one goal for 2024, right? Yeah. It's going to be a fundraising for Ralph for a new
glasses. They're just in the car. These are my studio, my creative glasses.
Creative genius glasses.
Oh, that
the EDM
on one
glasses.
Side, the thing doesn't block your brain. You still get the creative juices flowing.
That's why. I'm like a left-brain guy. I'm right-handed, so makes sense, huh?
Nice.
Yes, huh?
Boys, last week I wrote a blog. You probably didn't read it.
Oh, yeah, we read it.
Five harsh truths every artist should embrace. And I thought for this episode, maybe we could go over those truths and see if you agree, disagree.
I disagree.
Upfront, I disagree for everything. Okay, that's why you're here. First of all, the first truth that I could come up with was talent isn't enough.
Yeah, I agree. Next.
Well,
I agree.
Unless like Messi, talent's not enough. No, I agree.
What do you mean with unless you're Messi? Because Messi
apparently never practices free kicks, but still he managed to score a lot with free kicks. So,
but how did he become such a big soccer player? Was that by doing nothing and being lucky?
No, but I think he has so much talent, he doesn't have to put in the hard work per se like anybody else. But usually you'll fail with only talent. I
think that's such a thing that comes out of an interview, like, oh, I never practice my free kick. But it's such a lame interpretation, I think, of the journalist. Because I think he just practiced and played so much, but he maybe wouldn't specifically put a ball on an exact spot, and but he just played so much football that he has every shot anyways, you know, on anywhere on the field and anywhere. So it's like a bit of I never practice my free kick. Yeah, I mean,
you practice a kick.
Yeah, you practice a kick. You play the whole time. It's like
But I also agree. Talent is basically almost I mean, exceptions don't do something with the rule, and talent alone is not enough.
If you have talent, you still need to steer towards a like, if you want to become an artist, steer towards that, work towards that, reach out to people, and then still, because especially in music is so subjective. You can be a really good musician and make like musically like the most beautiful, or like the most like, oh, these chords go together and it's in this key. People can still be like, nah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
because it's so subjective. So definitely talent is not enough.
Funny enough, I had Messi as an example in the article, so maybe
I read it, that's why.
Oh wow. You were that one person.
He has it open right now, pretending to.
Yeah,
have,
exactly. No, but I was like, my opinion is that even though you could be born with enormous amounts of talent and being good in, well, maybe needing less time in order to create the perfect kick, you still need time and you still need to practice it. And that's why I think talent isn't enough. You can be the best musician out there, but someone else who is working his ass off will beat you in any kind of way.
Yeah, I think someone needs to see also the value in you. And sometimes that's like value as in the energy you bring to a room. But sometimes it's literally like, hey, how much money does this guy bring into our company? Yeah. So a label needs to see, hey, we see this guy is very talented, but he's productive. He's not at all productive. So we're not going to make any money. So bye-bye.
But Ralph is the perfect example here, right? No talent, but still successful.
No talent whatsoever. Very successful.
Makes it the more impressive, huh? That's the thing.
Nobody's got talent at
this,
all.
I take this as a compliment, you know? Yeah. Thanks,
but
guys.
That's what, yeah, sure. Okay.
No, but it's not. There are a lot of artists that don't put in the work and still come quite a long way. So...
Like who?
Don't always have to put in the hard work.
Names.
We want names. Let them burn.
Jay. Oh, there are a few Jays.
I did nothing my whole career. And I just...
But there are those people, work smart, not hard. And
I can take myself as an example, because during my artist career, I also asked myself the question like, How is it possible that I can make a living from this while I'm not musical at all? I didn't know how to read notes. I couldn't read musical literature, as in... Like,
yeah, but then you define success in terms of the money you make.
No, but talent, as in... I'm not sure if I was a musical talent because I didn't play an instrument. Oh, I couldn't read
I'm
notes.
I'm pretty sure I'm not a musical talent.
No, but that's what I mean, as in... I'm not sure if I'm necessarily musically talented, but I did manage to make a living from music. So how is that possible?
But that's also, I think, that's because dance music, it's a different kind of beast than a lot of other music kinds. You just got to have a knack for it, you know? Just know...
A knack for it?
Yeah, like it's called a knack for it. Not like a neck, but... And not a neck, but a neck. And
it's Brabant, an egg.
It's a neck, a neck.
Oh, man. Look it up. Google it.
It's like Brabant, you say, Nond.
Nope.
But I think I agree with Ralph there. It's like dance music, it has to do something more than just a vibe. On the dance floor, for example, you have to like, there have to be certain frequencies and there has to be some kind of rhythm to it that makes you want to dance. And I think,
It's Joey. I take this podcast very seriously, and then Joey is always up here nagging us,
laughing.
I'm the problem.
No, but I think a lot of music is about what vibe does it give you, and you listen to it, and hey, this is a cool vibe, but then dance music. It's not like, hey, this sounds cool. You want to, especially on a festival, you want it to make people move. And that's a whole different
thing. You just have to have a knack for,
you know?
That's what I was saying. You got to have a knack for it. Have you ever seen that South Park video? He's at the Wheel of Fortune. And then it's about people who annoy you. And there's N space GGERS. And then he's like... I'm not gonna say it, but it's you gotta see it. It's funny.
I know it. Yeah. I know it. I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
It's a classic, I think.
It's a classic. It's a meme.
All episodes are classics.
But the whole world has turned into a meme. Love it.
Financial instability is common.
As an artist, you mean?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. What I mean with that is that you should embrace the fact that it's almost impossible to have like a stable income as an artist.
You gotta not worry yourself too much about the insecurities that come with being an artist. Yeah, like you say, there's not so much stability and there's a lot of uncertainty. The booking you're counting on can be cancelled the day before. We always said we only know a booking is sure until the moment we press play. And especially in the beginning, sometimes was harsh times. Yeah, well, you were trying to make ends meet, and end of the month, it depended on one booking if you were making green numbers or red ones. And if that last booking just fell through, then you would have a big, big problem. And that's not most relaxing lifestyle.
But is that something that disappears, or is that only something that happens in the early stages?
That disappears if you make more money, and if you don't increase your outgoing money too much. So don't spend it on a big Porsche and three different Rolexes. And you'll be probably just fine. Yeah, unless you're making Tiesto money, you can buy a few Porsches and a few Rolexes. But
I think if you did buy Rolexes a couple of years ago, you even made money from doing that. So
depends on which Rolex it is and how you would treat them. But yes,
and how you would sell it again.
Yeah,
true. But like, what I've noticed for myself as well, I really struggled with the whole insecurity part in the beginning. Definitely because I was at an age where I wanted to start living on my own and have my own apartment, and like kind
of. I stayed at home
for a long time as well, I think 5 years. But when I was 21, I kind of started feeling the urge to have my own apartment. I also made my first money as an artist, so it was kind of possible, but still every month was a struggle. And that took a pretty long while before it became some sort of stable. And I really struggled with that insecurity. Mm. It gave me a lot of stress.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I saw a lot of friends of mine because I actually went to college. I have a master's degree in financial management. And it's actually a good thing. Dude,
it is.
Yeah. And but a lot of my friends, they were making good money after college. And then there I was living at home, being poor. Then I would dress up poorly and do like it's fashion, you know. And the first 5 years, we didn't make any money whatsoever. And then all my friends, they were buying houses and stuff. And I was like, okay. Still living at my parents, what's up? And in the end, luckily it turned
last
out
year finally we have good news. Last year Ralph was finally able to move out of his parents' house.
No, I still live there.
I think what's also very difficult is that not
I'm still in my bedroom
with,
man,
that's your bedroom right there.
It is. Look here.
I think it's what's difficult with that's making
me
music
in my bed at my parents' house. No.
What's difficult with making music is like not every hour you work is like paid out. In like contrast to a job where you work, let's say 40 hours, and every hour you do something, you get paid. And for us, sometimes you can spend literally like a month, like not being productive, or the stuff you make doesn't get signed. You're basically just working for free, and then there's these 5 minutes where you come up with a melody, and it like it blows up, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, that 5 minutes made me €10,000 in like a year's time or whatever, mm-hmm. which is also quite difficult sometimes, because how do you keep putting the time in if you feel like you don't make the money directly for the hours you work? That's sometimes
that's definitely true. And also all the effort you put in into marketing or whatsoever doesn't have the outcome that you would like to have. It's pretty abstract, you know, because you can do everything right and then still your next release just flops.
And so
everybody
it's also
stream.
Like, book us as DJs. That's the most. It's not really a product where Apple can do like the new iPhone. They can put 10 million.
But that's just
marketing.
Basically being an entrepreneur and you're running a business. And that's why.
Yeah, but
you
not
should...
really, because the product you sell, that's also very abstract. Where if you sell an iPhone, you can say, "Hey, we put 10 million into the marketing of that iPhone."
No, but you deliver a service. And what's your product anyway, Jopke?
Entertainment.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's fair. Fair answer,
I guess.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing you're selling. You're delivering a service.
Yeah.
So of course it won't be the same as an iPhone or whatsoever, and yeah, you are also the business. That's also really different from a lot of businesses. But there is a lot of people just like us, and we have to put in the effort and also the marketing. I mean, you gotta have your partners. It's quite a lot of shit. You're a business, and you should look at it as a business where creativity is just one aspect of. True. Although that's the one that attracted you to doing this at first.
Well, I think, as you mentioned, it's this kind of rule is for every entrepreneur out there, as in every person that wants to build a business has to deal with insecurities. And doesn't matter what product you sell, there are insecurities. Even Apple doesn't know how many products they sell. It's just an estimate in the beginning. And I think that dealing with that risk is something you have to get comfortable with, become
comfortable.
The problem
here is, of course, that you want to have that mental stability to do creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's kind of contradictory, because on the one hand, you have all these insecurities, and on the other hand, you want to be creative, but that bites each other, So, but you get to know a lot about yourself and learn a lot. I think, most artists are really good at handling being.
I think that's also the risk you take of not going for a regular job, and it's the risk you get usually, like the classic stories of, oh, all my friends laughed at me because, like Ralph just said, they were buying houses and I couldn't even afford a nice meal of going out. That's what you, when you get laughed at for making that choice. But then as soon as it pays out, it's like, oh, you did really well. Or they say you got lucky, but then, those aren't real friends. But that's the payout for that risk can be huge, but can also be nothing, that's still, even in my career, it's like all the stuff I'm doing now, hopefully will pay out in a year or maybe 2 years. But it can also do nothing, So it's always that.
You're kind of investing into the long term, while most people, us as human beings, we want to see instant gratification. As in, if we do something now, we want to see what the reward is now. And if we don't get that reward instantly, we have problems with dealing with that. So I do believe if you want to build something successfully in life, you need to build it for the long term, and you need to cancel out the instant gratification thing, because you're not going to get instant gratification in the early stages of your career. You need time, you need things to compound over time before someone will take you seriously, before your music's good enough, before you have a decent enough amount of following. That just takes time, and you're not going to get any gratification in that period of time. So it's all about planting seeds, investing into the long term, and hoping that after those years, those seeds will start to pop.
Yeah. Well, also be grateful for the small little things that do happen. If you post your track on a forum or on a Discord, and there's a guy who's like, "Hey, I really like this, man." If you're just starting out, that's a huge victory. That's a thing where
man,
it can give you a lot of confidence.
We still count those. If somebody says,
of course,
when a lot of people when we get more replies than usual, we're like, oh man, we're onto something. You just don't know yourself sometimes, also.
We posted this
video of rework of Kendrick Lamar, Humble, and also people. I was working out. Can you tell? Yeah. And the trainer over there came up to me, said, "Well, I really like that song and this and that." And then also a friend of mine, he sent me a DM about that song. And then I'm like, okay, that was
you. Do you work out on your own music?
No. He saw it on our socials, man.
Artist, narcissist. Yeah.
But okay, actually a good idea to also work out on my own tracks, because to be honest, they're really good for working out.
High energy.
I think Messi secretly practiced free kicks on our music. True story.
Big kick. Is he part of the Big Kick Army?
Big Fat Kick Army. Everybody loves okay. Big Fat Kicks.
Yep. Next one. Rejection is inevitable.
As is in life.
True. Yeah, that's fully
but
true.
You gotta embrace rejection. It's nothing bad. Let's say you're 18 years old and you're into girls, guys, whatever. Let's say girls, because that's what I was used to.
Slippery slope.
Keep out the woke army. Let's say you're into persons and you're eager to be with other persons. If you strike out with 100 of them, but you manage to be with 3 persons, that's better than you went strike out with 10 persons and be with 1. If you're all about the numbers game, if it's about quality, that's different. But still.
So you're saying bang everyone and see what works?
No. if you want to meet the one, you have to kiss a few frogs. That's how it works. Nothing against frogs, by the way. Sorry.
Oh, and, shit. The woke frog army.
But no, it's a numbers game. And the more rejection you get, it's not a bad thing. You got to take it as it's a good thing. Because that means you're trying out. And you're putting yourself out there.
Every rejection is just literally...
Please don't post
one
it
step
on TikTok.
you're one step closer to non-rejection. Rejection. What's the opposite of rejection?
The word exception.
Exception, yeah. So every rejection, you're one step closer to exception. So, yeah.
No, that's not true. You gotta put yourself out there.
I think what Ralph means to say is that every rejection tells you a bit more about what you are looking for instead of what you're not looking for. So
it's a learning moment.
Yeah, you need to know what not to do in order to know what to do.
Yeah, but also sometimes it's about time and place. You don't really control those. So the more you try, the more the chance of success will be. It's simple as that. So the more rejection you get, that says something about you. You're doing shit. And that's actually a good thing. So rejection is good.
I like what you said about you don't control things. If you accept that you're way less in control than you think, that helps me always a lot, because I make music that I like and that I think will work. If I then send it to 10 labels and they all reject it, I still feel like, hey, I did something good and now on to the next one. And like you said, it can be a timing thing. You know, it can be a timing where someone just isn't into your track at that moment.
I sense a lot of frustration with upcoming guys that send out stuff and they think they are not being heard like guys like Jay or me are being heard. But in a sense, that's true, because a release with our name on it will get you a few more streams than somebody without the name. So, but also, we're all being judged kind of equally. You are being heard, but most of the time, if nobody wants to do anything, it's just not good enough, and that's perfectly fine. It's totally okay. We still have it quite a lot, things that I believe in the most, and then nobody just acts on it and then makes you look different to it, and then okay, maybe it's not that good. On to the next one. I totally agree with Jobcon that.
I think the ice is already broken in that case. It's like we have a name now. So a label will think, okay, so it's probably good. But from that, so they will listen to it, which is a huge advantage.
That's
but then
true.
They will still judge it like they would normally. It's like still. When there's a DJ, let's say you're in a club, you're the popular DJ. There's a bunch of girls or guys, whatever you're into. And they like you. If you're the DJ, the ice has already been broken. You don't need to really go up to the persons you like. It's easy to get chatting. There's already like you've already made this impression. But then if you let's say you want to sleep with someone, then you still have to make a good impression. Let's say Yeah.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, yeah. No, but let's say you're a DJ.
Do you know that meme? Like,
yeah, Ralph hasn't been a touring DJ, so maybe he doesn't understand this part. Let's say you're a young DJ, you're 20 years old. You're like, hey, I like a few of the girls there. You know, let's imagine a young Ralph who turned out to be a DJ, and it's like, hey, I would like to go out with them or sleep with them, whatever.
Oh my.
The ice has already been broken. You don't need to introduce yourself. You don't need to make a first impression. They will way easier talk to you. But then
so
it's
what
still,
did you say?
They will still
hey,
judge you for who you are.
you might
they
know
will
me
still,
from up there.
Never mind. Okay, I'll stop. This makes no sense. What I said made sense, but this is...
It perfectly makes sense. I get it. But I'm just curious. What did you then say?
No, I always got to sleep with all the girls because they found out that I'm actually a very fun person.
Oh.
This is not a personal story or whatever. I'm just trying to make
I understand.
Hypothetical.
Like me.
Yeah,
and
the only advantage you guys have is by working hard is getting your foot between the door so that, well, for example, labels do listen to your songs, but still they will be listened to exactly the same as any other song. It needs to be good by the end of the day. It's just that you have the connection, the access by getting there, by building for a few years. Mm. And that's the only advantage you might have at this point, but it still needs to be good in the end. So you still get rejected as well with labels. That's one of the things I got asked as well in the start of artist coaching from other artists. They asked like, once you get signed with Spinning, Revealed, whatever, like the bigger labels, it must get easier to get signed. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's true. You know, it's it might get easier because you have the access, but still the music you create needs to fit, needs to be high quality.
You know, yeah. What we did notice is you get a release here and there easier than before, but it doesn't make, it just doesn't do anything if it's not good enough. Actually, the label should have been harder to us in the past sometimes to not put certain tracks out than,
I think, than
we have, because sometimes they just didn't do shit, you know. They weren't just not good enough. But you were aiming for having a release, which is not the aim you should have.
I think there's always a certain quality threshold for labels to see, like, hey, this sounds professional enough to release. And then if you're assigned to a label or you're more known, they will easier release tracks that, like Ralph said, don't perform as good, or they're expecting like not to perform as good. But you still need that quality threshold. So like the semi, like the, okay, that's a cool little track kind of tracks get signed easier. But that's not the tracks that really are going to help you forward, I guess. So
usually, you never know. It's still music and sometimes weird shit can happen.
Yeah,
but
true.
And that's also the play they have. I mean, they sign tracks for like 15 to 20 years. I mean, you never know what in a year, which DJ will pick it up, where will it end up under a TikTok, go viral. And that's also the game they play, you know, it's a numbers game. And yeah, if you're already in the system, yeah, stuff gets a little bit easier. But that shouldn't be the aim. It's not about getting releases. It's about getting you're doing something. It's always about your vision, huh?
It's about getting self releases.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay, sorry. No, it's about you're doing something that nobody else probably does, or else it makes no point.
Everyone does it, Ralph. It's okay.
Man, fuck it. I had a life changing story in here, but fuck it.
Sorry.
Now let's talk about self releases then.
I'm turning all the way red.
Okay, number four. Comparison leads to self doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever been in the toilet looking the stall next to you? You go like, what?
Yeah, what? With being.
Okay, we're calling names now. Okay.
That's not a name. When you're having bees.
Oh, yeah. Man.
No, but it's a human thing to compare yourself to others in a lot of different ways. But it always leads to self-doubt because, yeah.
What's but still, the sense you need things? To compare. Yeah, if you're doing the same shit as, like, say...
Johnson.
Actual,
yeah.
It needs to be on par.
I think you need to be aware maybe of what's going on in a certain scene. But I compare, it's hard to not compare. But I do agree, like, comparing is the death of, at least of my creativity. It's like, it doesn't work at all for me. I need to really be doing my own.
But you do have reference tracks, right? Also in the mix. I listen to a lot of reference tracks.
Like, that's never how I make music. Or that I do get some inspiration from, like, hey, I hear a cool track, but then
comparing is quite really... a lot. Like, how do they do a build in that certain track, and that might be also good for me. And sometimes I'm really having a hard time how to glue a whole track together, make a cool arrangement.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Especially arrangements. I'm like, poor man.
Yeah.
When you're using vocals. So you open up with the chorus, half chorus, then a verse or not.
Yeah, I guess.
Two times chorus line, pre-chorus, bridge, I don't know what. And there's a lot of choices to be made. And yeah, then you go really dig into the crates and see what's out there and make up your mind. Am I boring you, Mr.
Yeah,
Chief?
Sorry.
I guess that's where it's a really good, like, I also compare there now that you say it. I just think maybe comparing, it's hard to, like on Instagram, let's say, it's hard to not compare success and to compare outcome of a track. So if you see someone like headlining a show, it's hard to not compare yourself, but it can be really like bad for your vibe and
your self-esteem.
The problem is that you always only compare to people that are doing better than you or that you look up to. And that's like, then you sometimes forget how well you are doing. And you just can end up like spiraling a bit down, like in terms of self confidence and stuff.
I think it's more about embracing the truth that everyone's path is unique and success is subjective, because when are you successful, right?
10 million.
Yeah, but I think it's just smarter to focus on your own growth and creative expression than just constantly measuring yourself to others, because it just doesn't bring something to the table, you know. It's just pure misery that it brings. So even though you might be, you're human, so you are going to do it, but be aware of it when you're doing, so that you know you don't have to take it that seriously. And I know that it sounds really easy, and in practice, in life, it's not. But still, I that's the only way to deal with it.
Truth bomb.
Truth bomb right there. Clip.
It's a better clip than the one with the frogs.
Can't have it all, Ralph. Can't have it all.
It's not my A game, but maybe fifth hypothesis.
Last but not least, criticism is part of the package.
Yeah, of course. It always is.
So
self-criticism also, being a number one.
Yeah, but criticism from, well, as we talked about labels, but also your fan base, if you have one.
Yeah.
I think it definitely, you're going to receive criticism. The question is very much, what do you do with it? And also, like, how to say this, with labels, let's say I send my music to an A&R from a big label, and he has some feedback and he's not happy with the tracks, or he has some criticism. At that moment, usually I kind of know if I'm like happy with it myself. So it can be a bad critique, but I can still then figure out, no, but I know what I did was how I want it, how I meant it. So then it doesn't hurt me as much. But when it, when they say something where I'm like, oh shit, he's right, then I know, oh, I wasn't happy with it in the first place. But you're gonna, it's all then how you proceed from that point. So whether if you like receiving criticism or not, it's gonna happen. So definitely agree with, like, it's part of the package. But how are you dealing with it, and how much do you take with you in your, in the rest of your career? So also, like, from fans, there's a lot of there's some hate comments, like on a YouTube video or whatever. That's the one that sticks if you read too many comments. That's the one that, like, catches your attention, because the, like, 90% is good. Yeah, how do you deal with that? That's just, that's more the question, but it's going
to
be...
I think the way you're dealing with that is building enough self-esteem to know that that's not necessarily the truth, as in, like, put things in perspective. That also really helps. Like, just to realize, okay, I've got 90 comments, and this one guy or girl is the one that's bashing me for without any reason. And the other 89 people are really positive about the song. So why do I keep focusing? It's more about zooming out and seeing the big picture instead of focusing on the details.
You know, even if you're not always right, that's the first thing you should tell yourself, even me. And you gotta really see who you're gonna listen to. Last year we did Wrong or Right, a remake of The Riddle. And we were dealing with Joren, well-known A&R of Spinning. And for this time, I said also within our own team, we're gonna listen to Joren on this one. He is a good A&R, he knows his shit. Let's just listen to him. And he came with all these adjustments of the track, especially arrangement-wise, and they didn't feel good to me at all. And we were actually had discussions, fiery discussions here. Me, Marlon, manager Dwayne in there, also Renzo works here. And but I said in the end, hey, we dedicated to ourselves, and Joren would have the last say. Man, that track went really well. And if I now listen to it, it kind of, it makes 100% sense to me why we have done it like we did now. Well, we listened to him. Well, that at first didn't feel right. So you got to listen to the right people. Then you go to the public. Don't read or really go into the comments you get. They make a lot of times no sense. Sometimes they do, but
I guess
you read a lot of them, but a lot of them I just go like, meh, whatever, dude.
I guess it's all about choosing who to trust in this. So if Joren, you chose to trust Joren, and Joren said, hey, we're gonna do it like that, and you were kind of like, I don't see how this is gonna go, but I'll just do it. Which paid off, but it's interesting because I've seen this with a lot of collabs where I worked, like when I just started collabing, I never understood when people wanted to do certain things, and you're kind of like, no, don't change my melody, or no, don't change my chords. This is part of the track. It's very important. But as soon as you choose to trust the process there, like you work with someone, so you have to also listen to what they bring to the table. And a lot of times it's this situation, like Ralph says, almost even with other artists, they like have something new for the break, and there's a new chord change, and I'm also proud of my own chord change, but then you're like, okay, let's just try it out, let's just do what he asks, and let's see.
You're talking about mariachi, you know. Nice.
No yeah. And maybe but like a lot of collabs where you like kind of don't understand the way this person works, and like, but then after it's finished, and then how it goes or whatever, later you realize, hey, wait, this is better, and it's because it's so something I would have never done, something I would have never chosen. And just because you chose to listen to the other guy's comments, or it's very interesting, but it's also about I guess about ego and knowing, like, I think that just choosing who to trust.
Yeah.
So if Ralph and me go into the studio and Ralph is like, Jay, I really want to do this for the build up, and I'm like, I don't feel it, I will say, no.
No, man.
I will say, Ralph, you do that. And I'm just gonna sit back and I trust you to do the right thing with it. And that's
but it's hard. It's always hard to adjust also to opinions of others, call it criticism. But I think it's really important, and it starts with knowing that you don't know it all. Yeah, don't be so arrogant. You just don't know. Also, if you get successful, don't get people around you who only will not, because that won't help you at all. You gotta build a critical team around you that just will say if something's shit when it's shit, and will say that's good when it's good.
Yeah, you have that saying, right? If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, I feel like that right now.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Bye.
You're alone in that room, right? So...
but it's more like you need to challenge yourself, as in the people you hang with influence you in a really big way, and such a big way you might not even realize yourself, but the people you hang around with influence you in a lot of different ways. So you need to get people around you who are critical but also motivating, and we're not necessarily there to bring you down, but more like to give you constructive feedback to help you back up. And yeah, exactly. And it's hard to find those people because you need to build trust before you know what kind of person you have.
You know what's funny about this format of the podcast? It's like Joey asks us a question, Jay. We stumble out some words and going as an answer. And then he says the right thing afterwards. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
It's not a new thing. It always has been like this.
Yeah. Why are we even here?
But I'm not sure. It's also sometimes very hard to judge what someone in your group of people you hang out with means to your process. In a way of sometimes someone can be annoying or can be sometimes a bit of a struggle to work with, but it might pay off. It's very hard to judge that sometimes. It's hard to judge what someone means to you in the long run, because I see this on Instagram or on TikTok, and people are like, yeah, you need to surround yourself with people with a positive mindset.
Sorry, okay. Makes sense, but it's Joey. The thing is, we're looking at the screen. He's not per se looking at me, but I know he's looking at me. What the fuck? But we're... sees us now. It's weird,
but
man.
Like, it's just like energy. They always on Instagram and like the beautiful Instagram quote, you need to surround yourself with people that motivate you and that are positive and a positive mindset. But like, positive isn't always like, oh, this guy makes me feel good all the time. Let's say me and Ralph, if he annoys me, sometimes that starts not that you really annoy me, but like it can start something in me that makes me work towards something in a good way. So it's like, it's very hard to judge what people around you
hate can be a motivator
process.
It's like being a Jedi or a Sith. You watch those movies, they're called Star Wars, something big about it.
okay boomer
man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean the last ones were shit, but Star Wars is still cool, right? Have you seen Andor, man? Fucking amazing.
No, I've seen a Star Wars movie, but it's been a long time ago. Long time. But I agree with what you're saying, Ralph.
Ray.
I have this person in my life as well who's really critical, overcritical, in my opinion, way too negative. But to me, I'm way too positive and way too open-minded in some kind of way. So I see a lot of opportunities, and I sometimes need to be a bit more critical about things before I jump into it. So talking to him is good to me because he always points out the critical aspects of things that I see, like, huh, never really thought about it that way, you know, never really saw it like that. And then I'm not saying I have to agree with him, but for like 20%, I could say, huh, that could actually be something that might bring me in danger in this whole story or whatever. So it could be helpful to have people around you who have skill sets you don't have.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't always clearly show.
Like, the makes it stuck, and then he gives the right answer.
And don't become Robbie Williams, because
why?
I've seen his documentary. And
is it good?
It's very good, I think. But it's very shocking to me how, and of course it's a documentary, so it can be very out of context or whatever, but like how transactional he works with some of the people in his life. And then he's like, there's a guy, the guy is called Guy, and he wrote like some of the biggest hits with him. They always work, the two of them. And
the
then
guy who's Sari?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly. But like, there's this moment in the documentary where there's a period of time where Robbie is all of a sudden done with this guy. And then he's like, oh, I'm done with him. At that point, I was done with him. And he just like puts him to side, just like a thing, you know? Okay, that doesn't do it for me anymore. Bye. And it was, and then his whole life started to derail, and he still can't understand, like, hey, maybe it's because of the choices you made and not just of like the life that has, it's very interesting. But I see it also from having been a touring artist, not nearly at that level, but like it's very interesting. And it's also interesting to me that no one really saw that kind of aspect of him, where he's actually very narcissistic and very watch a documentary and
you know what I'll do for next week, Ralph. If you make sure you watch it as well, we're gonna talk more about it in depth.
Cannot comply, not at all. I have a new game, Resident Evil 4 Remake. It was sale, and it's really cool. I'm playing that until I'm done. So yeah,
Modern Warfare is launching tonight.
Dude, I'm so excited for
heck
in 2 years when
I got to go.
Guys, in 2 years, GTA 6 will launch. Yeah!
2 years?
2025. Yeah.
I did like the trailer a lot, though.
Oh, if that's in-game footage, it's going to be...
Sure,
in-game.
It's not. Like, it's never.
They say
like,
it is.
No, but
they say it is.
Yeah, but they it's say, not gameplay
you get
footage.
See.
It's like...
They say part of it is, yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
But
we'll
hey,
see.
2 years. That's a long time, man. Who knows where we'll be in.
Yeah, but it's 2025, so that's practically within a year and a month from now.
Yeah, but
and
that's also
it will
a long
launch
time,
March
man.
2025.
A long time.
Yeah,
who knows?
If you,
I might have scored two hits by then.
You guys might not even talk to me anymore by then.
Probably not.
Probably.
Yeah, well, maybe sometimes.
Well,
maybe somewhere else.
I'm done with you. I just eject
you.
I
don't need
you.
Can you make it like this visual guy that I pick him up and then bam, bam? Or maybe I'm not. No. For you, Jopke, which side of the screen are you?
Left.
Ah, I'm left
for me,
in my screen.
For me,
you're
in the
right for me. And Joey's in the middle. And strangely enough, Joey looks forward, I lean a little bit to the right, and you're really looking to the left for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, technology,
it's like
we're in the same room.
Technology, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Guys,
I can smell you guys.
Thanks a lot. We will be back next week, maybe with an in-depth version of the Robbie Williams, documentary.
Probably not, but we can
or
talk
maybe
about...
It's big, it's like four episodes, so it's like it's a big documentary.
Yeah, or, oh, really? Oh, maybe we can talk about Modern Warfare. There might have been some more hours in there. We'll catch up
golf
next week.
No, not about golf.
Bye.